Fontes, podcast di cultura pagana del Giorno Pagano Europeo della Memoria.
Hello everybody, I am Manuela Simeoni and I welcome you to this new episode of Fontes, Radio GPM's podcast about pagan culture. In the latter episode of Fontes, we talked about the difference between Ares and Mars as an expression of the difference of Greeks and Romans' worldviews, a difference that can be perceived also when studying their languages. We said that Ares is the fury of the battle, that must be feared because it's uncontrollable and frightening, while Mars is the action of fighting or struggling. It doesn't matter whether it's for defense or for offense, or if it's directed towards an enemy, a pest of harvest or illness. This action isn't positive or negative in itself. So Mars isn't so closely linked to the war as a battle between cities or populations. In order to go on with the matter, this time we are going to talk about Mars, and since in the pagan memory calendar the month of June is dedicated to the relations between paganisms, we are going to talk about how the Roman god Mars has been joined with different Celtic gods, and how this could help us to understand better both of these paganisms. When the Celts first got in touch with Romans, apart from battles for the possession of lands, a cultural exchange between the two populations occurred. Then, the imposition of a religion, as we know it nowadays, luckily didn't exist. Nobody tried to consciously delete the cult of Celtic gods and goddesses. What did really exist was what modern scholars call interpretatio, Latin words that literally means interpretation. The interpretatio is the translation of one god into another culture and so into another god. Since a pagan god, as humans describe him, is the result of some kind of word perception, then the god is a concept and can be translated, even though this translation can be more or less accurate. Sometimes a language has an idea expressed in just one word, while another language needs two or more words to express the same thing. This happens with languages as well as with the gods. Teutates and Isos, two of the most important and known Celtic gods, have been compared both with Mars and with Mercury. This is the reason why I think that it doesn't make sense to strictly divide the Indo-European deities into the three functions as Dumézil made. One function related to power, justice and priesthood, the second related to the world and the third related to production. How can it be that Isos, that is an European god, can be translated both into a god of the second function and into a god of the third one? That means that this god has different features. But maybe we should better leave the matter of Dumézil's function for another day, because it's worth of a more exhaustive study. Let's go back to the contact between Celts and Romans, which certainly came before the great battles led by Caesar in order to subjugate the Gaul. It's true that Caesar is the first to write about the interpretatio of Celtic gods, but it's true also that, in fact, the interpretatio must have been realized before. Actually, Caesar wasn't interested in religion. All he wanted was to conquer the Gaul and bring this result back to the Senate for political aims. Caesar is also accountable for defamation of Gallic religion, spreading rumors that never found any confirmation by archaeological excavation, like the Wicker Man. Since literary sources are indubitably partial, we must refer to to archaeology or to epigraphy to understand how Mars entered Celtic, or better speaking, Gallo-Roman religion. The Gallo-Roman religion was born from the close link that formed between Roman names of gods and Celtic names of adjectives. This kind of religion wasn't born from an imposition under which Celtic cult had to go on secretly, but it was some kind of a fusion, and we must remember that the Gaul remained pagan long after Rome officially converted. This fusion is useful also for us who want to look at these religions, because it helps us to understand them both. Since it happened between real practiced cults, it can make us understand the original meaning that the god Mars had before being compared with Ares. And since the Celtic religion didn't usually imply great worship buildings and many inscriptions, while the Roman religion did, we have more written clues to understand something about Celtic religion. Among the Celts, Mars was the god of the battles, but often is also the patron of a particular place, like a mountain or a tribe. This remembers us the ancient Roman name of father Mars was called with, Marsupiter, like Jupiter is Jupiter father, Peter means father. There was also Marsupiter, father Mars, and also remembers us the ceremony of the Ver Sacrum, when young men consecrated to Mars left their village to create another one, and so another population, usually following some kind of sign of the god, like a sacred animal. According to the legends, this was the origin of Picenes, from the Latin word picus, that means woodpecker, sacred to Mars, of the Marsi, the Frentani, the Marocini, all Italic populations. The Celtic Mars is also related to healing, especially from eye illnesses, and seldom to celestial worship. We know that the Sali priests in Rome, who used to dance wearing armors to honor Mars, sang a song in which Mars was called Leucesie, that means luminous, and it is said that he thunders, causing the gods to shake. We also must remember that in Mars' temple in Rome, the Lapis Manalis, a sacred stone we read about in Festus' works, was kept until the moment came to use it for sacrifices to Jupiter to get rain. In later times, the imperial propaganda also used the popularity of Mars to favor the empire. But I personally don't like to consider that period as a period of true Roman religion, which according to me has decayed much time ago, since the Bacchanalia, when politics began to use religion. Then, the religion doesn't exist anymore in his full sense. Anyway, in Gallo-Roman religion, Mars has always been a very important god, and he has been compared to several Celtic gods or received different Celtic appellations. Let's make an overview of them to end our episode. Mars Albiorix, the tribe of the Albices in southern Gaul, considered him the god of their mountain. According to some scholars, his name may mean king of the world. Mars Budenicus, another god who protected a specific place. He was also considered the spouse of the goddess Sulevia, who was lately identified with Minerva, even though her features were closer to the Matron's ones. The name of Sulevia is similar to the name of another Celtic goddess, Solis, worshipped in Bath, who had been identified with Minerva too and was related to the sun worship. Mars Camulos. Camulos was a god of war in Gaul and in Britain. The present city of Colchester was called Camulodunum, city of Camulos in ancient times. Dedication to these gods have been found in Rindern, in the region of Reims, and in Dalmatia. Mars Catorix. His name means a king of battles or of fighting. Maybe he was the tribal god of the Catorigues. He was worshipped around the present Geneva. Mars Corotiacus. The name of this god appears on a small bronze depicting a horseman stomping on his enemy. In eastern Britain, Mars was often worshipped as a horseman. Mars Linus. Linus was the healer god of the Treveri, and it's clear that here Mars is interpreted as the defense against illnesses. In stone dedications, the name of Linus comes first, so maybe Mars was added as a translation for Roman visitors of the sanctuary. His main worship center was in a wooded valley on the left bank of the Moselle, next to a mountain stream. This place must have been considered sacred much time before the construction of the great Gallo-Roman temple in 2nd century current era. This temple had a big altar and a space for ceremonies, and small pools of healing created by channeling a hilly spring that was upstream. Small tamed birds were offered to Linus, who was also called the patron of the young. Another very important sanctuary dedicated to Linus was in Pomerania. This sanctuary has a resting place for the incubatio. Visitors used to sleep there, hoping to receive some kind of healing dream from the god. Linus was worshipped in Britain too, inside sanctuaries, where Mars was related with two other gods, like Ocellus and Vellaunus, maybe Celtic tribal gods. In Chedworth, Linus is depicted as a warrior god with a hammer and spear. Mars Lucetius. There's dedication to Mars Lucetius in the healing temple of Minerva Sulis in Bath, where the god is associated to the Celtic goddess Nemetona. We also have a dedication found elsewhere in which Lucetius is associated to a Roman goddess Bellona, who, according to Dumézil, embodied the exit from the battle. In this case, it was maybe a battle against illness. Lucetius means luminous, and this god is usually compared with Jupiter, while the goddess Solis, in whose sanctuary the dedication to Mars Lucetius was found, recalls some kind of solar worship. Mars is related to the worship of the skies also when compared to the British god Belatucadrus. Mars Mullo. Mullo was worshipped in the northern and northwestern Gaul, especially in Brittany and Normandy. Some scholars relate his name to horses or mules. He was certainly a patron god and a healer from eye illnesses in the temple of Alons. During the 2nd century of current era, the god Mullo was associated to the imperial cult, so we would rather expect an association with a Jupiter, since emperors preserved the office of Pontifex Maximus, and many urban sanctuaries were built for him. Mars Nabelcus, patron god of the mountain of Vaucluse. Mars Nodens. Nodens was the god of the healing sanctuary in Gloucestershire. Nodens was also associated with Silvanus, and we know that Cato the Elder calls Mars Silvanus in his De Agricultura, it's about agriculture. In the temple dedicated to Mars Nodens, there was a dormitory for healing sleep, and there were found offerings representing human organs. The god is not depicted in the temple, but the many images of dogs let us think that his animal must be sacred to him. Mars Olodius. He was worshipped in Britain. He was a patron, a healer, and a fertility god, depicted with two horns of abundance but also as a warrior. Mars Rigisamus. His name means supreme king and appears on a dedication found among the remains of a temple, along with a small statue of a naked man bearing a helmet, a spear, and a shield. Mars Rigonemetis. His name means king of the sacred wood. The Celt word for sacred wood is Nemeton. He was related to the tribe of Corieltauvi and later associated to the emperor worship. Mars Segomo. The name Segomo means victorious. Segomo was sometimes associated to Hercules. A bronze horse found in Burgundy was dedicated to Segomo. Mars Smertius. The root of the Celtic god's name refers to abundance, and it's the same of Rosmerta, Celtic goddess of abundance. Mars Smertius was worshipped in Mon and associated to the goddess Ancamna. Mars Teutates. Teutates is one of the three gods that Lucan said to be the most important in Gaul. Teutates was compared to Mars, but also to Mercury. These two Roman gods were often associated in Gaul. The name Teutates refers to the Teuta, the tribe. So in this case it was the aspect of Mars as patron god that was taken in. Mars Thinxus. Maybe Thinxus is not even a Celtic god, but rather a Germanic one, though it was worshipped in Hallstatt's fortress near Hadrian's Wall. Like Mars Ocellus, his sacred animal was the goose, which in ancient times was a house guardian. Mars Visucius. Visucius, worshipped on the border between Gaul and Germany, was also identified with Mercury. And the last, Mars Vorocius. He was usually depicted as a Celtic warrior, but at the healing spring in Vichy was invoked for healing eye illnesses. I hope this overview, that is not complete, can give you an idea about how pagan religions, even when belonging to populations who battled for a very long time, had the ability of create links and relations instead of trying to destroy each other. And for today, that's all. If you have any suggestions or questions, you can write us at radiogpm@giornopaganomemoria.it, and see you on the next episode of Fontes in July.